Hi, Brett. I'm recording.
I'm right here.
I am also recording.
That's a little
now,
message
Brett.
For future Brett.
Oh, thank you.
The one I respect.
Monday morning, Brett. I got no respect for
it. Hello, Brett. And doesn't Monday morning Brett suck?
This is our own severance.
Is that what that show's about? Antagonizing engineers?
Have you not seen that, the show?
I haven't either. I want to watch it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got to.
It's good.
It's very cool.
Are you guys watching Yellow Jackets at all?
I watched the first season. I didn't love it, Brett.
Yeah.
It's a little broad for me, especially that bear attack.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny. The second season just started. And I was a little like not in love with the first season, but I know some people are like obsessed. Like Dana's completely obsessed. But it's good. But like second season, what really made me laugh is they introduced like three new characters as part of the plane crash crew. And there's like, they just tried to slip in like three new actors. And it's like,
Lost, you would see just vague people in the background.
Not as much.
Become characters.
Not as much because like in the first season, there's literally scenes where the entire Survivor crew is like holding hands in a circle. And you don't see these three people.
Just us.
Is everyone accounted for? Let's go through the plane manifest.
How do they explain it? They don't.
They just casually
don't.
Where
have you three been?
Yeah.
We were in the bathroom.
Let's do that. Hey, what the? Holy shit. Where have you guys been?
Hey, were you guys on that plane too?
Yes, we're on the plane. What do you mean? We're all on the same fucking soccer team, man. Where have the three fullbacks been? Where have you guys been?
I was on my phone. I can't account for these other two.
Phone works!
Well, it's out of battery now, but yeah, I was taking a phone call for a while. I'm sorry, guys.
With who? Did you tell them what was happening?
It's my girlfriend. I mean, like, we're not really, like, official, but, you know, it's one of those things
she
where it feels
you.
Like we're official.
Okay.
Steve, it's great to see you, man. What's up, dog?
What's up, dog? We got attacked by a bear. People are thinking about eating each other. That's what's up, dog. And you guys are looking pretty plump.
Oh, fuck. Remember we always said on the team, crash or no crash, I mean, we never said this part, but no body shaming, right? Everybody has their own.
Hey, I'm saying plump in a very positive way. I could have said delicious.
A midfielder is going to look more different than a fullback, and the fullback's going to look different from a goalkeeper.
All right, this sounds like defense resentment.
Listen, I know, I get it, man. Honestly, I was over there trying to talk to the flight attendant. You know, we had a little something going on the plane. And
yeah, you're the only one who didn't sit down when we hit turbulence.
Yeah, because I was trying to get with that flight attendant. And I almost had her, but she bled out before I could close the deal.
Oh, even when she was dying, you still flirted?
I mean, well, I think she was still flirting with me. Like, you didn't see the vibes. The vibes were still there. Like, a lot of eye flutters and stuff. Yeah, I was trying to help.
We thought your guys' part of the plane landed in the ocean or something. Didn't you guys try to look for us? Didn't you see the smoke signals or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after the crash, we were so, you know, disjointed and scared, and I think we looked for like a day and didn't hear anything, and then we just had to, you know, live our lives.
Yeah, it was hard for me to sort of like lug. Because she couldn't walk at a certain point, so it was hard for me to kind of lug her around as we was looking for everybody.
The flight attendant?
Yeah, so at some point we just had to sort of like camp and just sort of like, you know, just connect.
All right, I want you guys to be honest. Did you eat the flight attendant?
Did I eat her? I wanted to for sure.
Hey,
I wanted to for sure.
You but, dog, Richie.
hey, y'all know me. I mean, I use the soccer team to get girls.
Yeah, you've been very
well. We are an all-girls soccer team, so that's good odds.
And that's what it is, and I use it to get them.
No, we've been eating just like the. Why would we eat her? We've got so much boar up there. I mean, we've been like, the boar are so docile. They're really easy to just kill and clean. And we've been like throwing some to the cows up there and stuff and just feeding them. It's been nice.
This makes me mad on a couple of levels. One, we are in desperate need of food. That's the obvious level. But two, you are such a hypocrite. You used to be such a vegetarian. It's so condescending.
I know. And every time we eat, I do kind of say to everyone, it's just a cheat. You know, it's like when we're back home, I'm going back to ovo-lacto pescatarian, to be more specific.
Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests, Ronnie Adrian, Albie Gandor, and Dan Lippert.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me, Ali. Dan Mandog and Ronnie are all here. Almost called him just Mandog. And Brett's
sorry,
here, of course.
I'm logged into the wrong Zoom account.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Always got that branding going.
I still know your name. Yes, I enjoyed Yellow Jackets, but I didn't love it. I'll watch it again, Brett. But
it's actually better the second time around. I've been sort of forced to watch it again the first season, and it's a lot better when you're not constantly like piecing together like, wait, that character's that person in the future, and you're like just piecing out who everyone is, then you realize like all the little intriguing things they're dropping.
Yes.
After Lost, I kind of made a rule for myself that I was going to wait. If there's a show that's about like what's going to happen or a mystery, I'm like, I'm waiting until the whole show is done.
Yeah.
And I hear if people are like, it was disappointing or it was good. Because I'm not going to go along with that ride again. Yeah.
Whoa. This is significant, Dan.
It's the biggest decision I've ever made.
Yeah, definitely. If you risk, especially in this day and age, so many spoilers flying around that you that could hit your head. I almost ruined Severance for you guys 5 minutes ago.
Severance, to me, it is about like a little bit of mystery, but the character, like, to me, I'm interested enough in the people. No, that's not true. It is mysteries. That's the one. That's my cheat, I guess. I like Severance, and I've been watching that live.
I even mean just the basic premise of the show.
Yeah,
is interesting to know and figure out, and you can ruin it very easily for someone. But and I'm against this, Dan. And also, Lost was an enjoyable ride, and so was Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks had a very less than satisfactory ending.
Yeah, wasn't the second season of Twin Peaks a different, like David Lynch wasn't even a part of it? Is that right?
I don't think so. You mean
when he
came
was,
back?
But what's his name? I think kind of finished it off.
Okay. Anywho, yeah, okay. I just felt with Lost, it was so clear that the whole purpose of the show was to end an episode to get you to want to stick around to the next one, and there was no like. It was about the mystery, not about the, like the world or the characters. And I was like, I'm not going to get jerked around like this again. I don't care if the mystery is just about setting up more mysteries.
Well, in Lost is I never watched it. I feel kind of like a pride that I missed that disappointment. But I did watch The Leftovers, which is also Lindelof, right? And from what I understand, it's a similar thing where you just get the sense after a while, like, oh, they have no plan. They're just making this up as they go, and you're going to be disappointed.
So you think as a show creator, you should, and you want to possibly have 7 seasons of a show. And also, if you have an end like you guys want, it seems like you have to know exactly how many seasons you're going to have. So you want them to have that end all figured out at the beginning.
I do. Hard yes for me.
If the show is about a mystery, then yes. If it's about setting up in the first episode, we have a crazy plan. And by the last episode, you'll know the plan. And then like 3 seasons in, they're like, You know what? It's actually the future and the past sometimes. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, or introduce, it's like, yeah, you're just, go ahead, make all the money you want. I don't care. Keep making money. But for me, I'm going to stop watching at a certain point.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we'll just get the check. So yeah, pretty, I guess I know this has not been the most exciting first date.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I feel like I was having an enjoyable time.
Yeah, it was good. It was fine. I guess before the check comes, I will say that on the second date, I'll tell you something very intriguing about the way that I shower.
Okay. listen. I mean,
do you want to split this? Or here, I'm just going to put both. Do you have your credit card? You want to just split this?
Yeah, no, I can pay for this, by the way.
Like, oh, great. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, no problem. I'll pay for the whole thing. Right. My thing is that you've been sort of like teasing little nuggets about yourself all night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been, I guess I've been a little bit more straightforward with my information.
Right.
So look, if this is some sort of like idea where you want to keep me interested or something, like, I'm okay with just learning about you, and I already want a second date, so you don't have to withhold information from me.
Well, we'll see. Maybe there will be a second date, or maybe there won't. I guess we'll just have to see how this week plays out.
We cut to the second date, and it's like the dessert has been ordered, and the intriguing shower style has not been revealed.
Listen, I'm not that guy. Seriously, I'm not this guy. But it's just the last date, you mm-hmm. brought this up about wanting to tell me about a shower thing, and you haven't told about me. We've been sitting here eating for 2 hours. And
right.
But you, you dangled the nugget.
I did tell you that at one point in my life, I crashed my car and I hurt someone, and it was my fault. And okay, I will tell you that at some point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now you're just adding more sort of like mysterious nuggets about yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, just, can you just tell me linearly about your life? Like, for me personally, like, you know, I grew up in Virginia. You know, my dad died when I was young. That was really hard for me, you know, but my mom and my brother, we all continue to sort of like make, like, you know.
And
like,
here are your cream brulees, and we will be closing in a half hour.
That's so perfect. Thank you. We won't take that long. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to slow down on the info overload. I don't know if I can care about that much at once. And I also feel like what's my motivation to see you again?
I don't know that you like me,
Yeah, I like you, but like right now it's like a two date like you. I don't know if there's enough for me to like you for multiple seasons.
Seasons? Listen.
Fall, winter, summer, spring.
We cut to a couple of weeks later after they've gone out on 7 dates and Ronnie's hanging out with his friends. I wouldn't give up on it. I mean, sure, she's giving you the shower style and dribs and drabs, but just hearing it secondhand from you, I'm on board. It's a really weird way to take a shower. You got to find out the full technique, dude, and then maybe break up with her.
Come on. Y'all know that I have went the distance with a lot of women I shouldn't have. And, mm-hmm. and oh, yeah. Like, there's information that...
Yeah, that British girl was 6 episodes at most.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Sure. Like, but... there is something about her. And I do want to know how it ends. Because I feel like there's going to be a big bang of a date that we're going to have that's really going to, like, solidify something or make me... or just turn me off completely. And I think I'm just waiting for that moment.
Can I just say, the shower thing we never got, the car crash story ended up just being a fender bender where she thought she didn't have insurance, but then she actually did. Like, each of these, the setup is great, and then it's like a little bummer of a reveal. And I'm trying to take care of you here, because there's better people out there, you know? It's not just about the mystery.
We cut to the fourth date. It's me, it's Krista, and Krista's time is now. Hey, I got a new intro song.
You get a new intro song.
Yeah, yeah. Just thought, like, you know, it'd be a nice way to keep it exciting.
Okay, well, I guess I just didn't know the original intro song. You've just been, okay, listen.
It was more instrumental. You know how I'd kind of hum every time before I sat down? That was the intro song before,
I guess. I thought that was just you being quirky. Listen, I just, you are really racking my brain. This is really tough for me.
I love that.
Like, I'm like hunkering down on the dates. I'm more focused on our dates than I've ever been on any date. Like, I don't want to miss any sort of thing that happens, anything that you do. I'm looking around, like. So
some of the wait staff wanders over some other tables. Hey, it's Krista.
Hey.
I've been working here a while. We're a huge fan of your dates you bring in here. Just want to say, huge fan.
I appreciate that so much. Keep waiting.
What season are you in with this guy?
This is fall. I would say first iteration of fall with my boy.
Oh, here. New show. Okay, good luck, dude.
Appreciate you.
Hey, man. Training wise, you know, that's basically it. It's really important that you're here for the pre-shift conversation and all that. And then, just so you know, with that couple over there, previously on Krista, she was dating a guy who she was really into.
Let's talk some more about that.
That reminded me of The Lost. I feel like they were the first show to just have a tone be their fucking opening theme song. What was it? Wow. I forget what it was, but it's pretty awesome.
Good. I almost did the HBO one.
That one, when they used to do free HBO shows in the park in New York, people would get up and or the dun dun dun. Oh, you're thinking of the Dolby sound, right?
What the no, I was thinking about, like, oh, that plays before HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What, I'm getting the sounds mixed up.
We're getting our sounds mixed up. The older HBO one was like,
and people would get up and dance to that at the outdoor concerts.
Yeah, that was great. I learned that theme as a kid because there was a while where we had cable and my parents just taped everything that was on HBO, basically. And so, like, then when we didn't have cable anymore, we had a store of, like, VHSs that would each have, like, you know, three movies that were taped off HBO on it. So that's where I learned that theme. The OG one.
What were the movies? Because I have those, like, a movie you've seen 100 times just because it was the movie in the house.
Oh, yeah. It's hard because I can mostly remember the good ones. Like, Ferris Bueller was one that definitely was, like, a huge. But then there's other. Yeah, there's. Cloak and Dagger. Have you ever heard of that? I mean, it's not fun because these are all, like, bad, obscure movies.
That's a perfect HBO movie name, though.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Is that based on the comic book?
No, it was. I think it might have predated even the comic book. It was about a kid who gets a video game cartridge that's actually, like, a secret government project. And he has
Last Starfighter. That's such a ripoff.
It's very similar to a lot of other plots. Yeah. This one was more like that. Like, what was on the cartridge wasn't super exciting. It was more just he was being hunted the entire time. So they didn't focus on the fun part.
What would be the equivalent of that theme these days? So you think you're doing something fun, but the government is really training you for something.
Like getting really popular on TikTok, probably.
Yeah. Doing a dance. I saw that in my travels this weekend. I went to Vegas and Boise. Was in many airports. But you see people showing each other TikTok dances. That's what I observed. Of course, I have a daughter, so.
In person, you like they're doing the dance, or you see them showing it on their phone?
Showing each other how to do the popular TikTok dance.
And these are children?
Children.
Okay. Yeah,
children. Okay. I guess I'm focused on these little people, my daughter talks to.
No, that makes children. Sense. Like if it was like adults, if it was like just adults that aren't like professional dancers that are just like, oh, I'm an adult.
Well,
that
young adults for sure, dude.
But if you were like, but I'm saying like, if this is like somebody that you would say that works at H&R Block being like, oh, hey, do you see this dance? And now they're like showing each other the dance in the in LAX. That's a little bit different.
Well, everybody knows the gritty, right? Like, right? Like, right, or the, yeah. I'm embarrassed to try to say another one. but I'd say even adults, you get, where would you see them doing their little dances? You don't think a lot of young people are on TikTok beyond teen years these days and are obsessed by all these dances?
No, I
do. And stuff?
I look at TikTok stuff. I'm not saying that an adult can't dance or do dances, but I think there's levels of people who are bold enough to just start doing the dances in public.
Yeah.
Right. Like amongst your friends, it's like, oh, yeah. But there's different levels of people being like, hey, man, I'll show you this dance right now where we are. Like, and I think those are all different people.
This reminds me of an inside joke in my family, my 3-person family of Danielle and Sydney. But when when Sydney had this recital, this choral recital at her school last year, so that would have been third grade. And there's like, well, it's all the whole school, the whole elementary school, but there's like 50 kids in the choir singing whatever, 4 songs. And Danielle, to be supportive, was kind of grooving to the song and like dancing in place. And Sydney looked over and saw that and got mad, like got visibly upset at Danielle. And I got it all on camera, too, because I'm filming the whole thing. And I see her go and her kind of give the cutthroat, stop doing that. No, down thumb. Please stop, mommy. And then later she explained that she thought Danielle was trying to upstage her and have everybody look at her dancing. So now every time we do anything, even if it's like a basketball game or just anything, I tell her that I'll keep mommy from dancing and trying to steal. And even when, like, I do have footage of Sydney in the game and I'm coaching, so I'm on the opposite side of the court and I can see Danielle's reaction to Sydney scoring, and she does stand up and do a little boogie woogie kind of towards the other team's crowd, and I show that to Sydney and she's like, what are you doing, mommy?
Like, it, I mean, like, and that's sort of way that's really funny. It's just like, if the idea, like, upstaging, but it's like, oh, I'm just trying to be supportive. So even at your basketball game, like, Danielle just brings a basketball and just dribbling the basketball to be supportive, like, genuine.
Let's cut to that. Okay, I'm going to call a referee timeout for a second. We need to talk to the crowd, which we don't usually need to do. Excuse me, ma'am. The fourth or fifth row, I think it is. With the basketball?
Oh, yeah?
Right. You need to stop dribbling the basketball during the game for all sorts of reasons.
Why? I'm here to support my kid.
Okay, I need to bring the coaches from both teams here. I don't want to be like I'm the crazy guy. All right. This is Dan and Ali from the opposing teams. Who are you here? What team are you with, ma'am?
With the Yellow Jackets.
Oh, that's not
congratulations
mine.
On making the playoffs. Okay.
We're really depleted, and we're just doing our best out there, and we appreciate the support.
Okay.
Look,
yeah.
Look, I'll say, because I'm sure everybody's kind of looking at me. you know, I'm the coach and my wife is a supporter of the team. And she's been very actively supportive out there. It is, yes. Okay. Boing, I thought maybe that's what you wanted.
Boing, 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 boing.
Honey,
boing,
honey.
Boing, 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 boing.
Okay, nice crossover. But a lot of these kids out here don't have a crossover yet. And you're kind of, people are like looking up at you. Like, do I need to explain this to your wife?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ref. Do you have children?
I don't. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, what it has to do is, if you did, you would know that what I am doing is in support of my child.
Clapping and cheering is in support, classically, not doing the same activity the child is doing.
What, I do this every activity she does, I support by also doing it with her. You know how
sometimes... Okay, when you spin the ball on your finger, it's hard to understand you.
Well, yeah, that took me a really long time, but that lets my daughter know that, hey, I took time to learn
this
for you.
Check out that lady, nice! Whoa! I wish she was in third grade.
Let's go, Nina!
Okay, hold on. Stop encouraging her.
I will say, you know, I'm not the coach. I'm the other coach. I'm the coach of the Spartans.
Thanks for putting up with this, coach.
I wasn't minding it. Obviously, it wasn't affecting my team as much. What I did mind was when our player Kyle got injured. It did appear that you got up, and I thought it was mocking, but it's clear now that you were just trying to one-up his injury a little bit. It looked like you started gripping the back of your leg as if you were having an even bigger cramp than Kyle was.
Oh, yes, I did, but only because he looked like he was in such pain. And children, they need to know that people are there supporting them in their pain. So once I saw he was in pain, I made the motion to make sure that he knew that I also was in pain, so he didn't feel alone.
Okay, if that was the intention, great. But what the effect was our medic was distracted, didn't know who to help, whether it was the child on the floor in the game or whether someone in the audience was having more of a crisis.
Yeah, you looked more in pain than he was.
And you also shouted...
You were upstaging.
You shouted, me, 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 back of my leg.
Yeah, I think you said I have a heart attack in my calf muscle.
I have a heart attack in my calf muscle is what we heard.
Okay, well, if you're wondering if your medic is good, he's great. The wrap is very tight. It hasn't came loose once.
And we ran out of gauze for Kyle. Thank you.
Yes, but that's only because I kept telling him more gauze, more gauze. So, yes, he's a very good professional, so you should definitely keep him on your staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Husband. Well, I just want to say that this is ultimately about the kids, and I think the parents should be able to support however they want. I'll say there's parents out there who yell at the kids, you know, who are aggressive and angry and fight with each other. My wife is being very singular with what she's doing other than the injury pretending thing, and I think that should be okay.
And how
I thought the injury thing fit pretty well along the pattern of what you just
said. No, that's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying.
Let's talk some more about that.
I give notes and scenes. I don't think I've done it on improv. I don't remember doing it on Improv or Humans in many years, Brett. But there's been some ass cats. And my main note, this is how I give my note, is if you go out and initiate a scene and they completely, like, let me try to give an example. They just deny you somehow. And I just go, okay, see you later. Or they don't find a problem with what you're doing. Okay. If I'd start that scene and Ryan said, okay, I'll stop dribbling. And then I go, all right, thanks.
Well done.
Let's start the game again. Problem solved. Situation over.
I remember an early, early Dragons practice. Yeah, it must have been a practice with me and Ronnie. Dan coached us for a while, so maybe, I don't know, maybe you're around for this. It's going to be hard to remember the details, but I remember Ronnie's, the first beat was something about like the bus driver not seeing well. And it was like really funny that this bus driver had like a kind of like a Mr. Magoo thing, but more nuanced than that. And it was like Ronnie's beat, and it was a really funny first beat. And then the second beat, I think Ronnie, like, just you had more of a laugh at this than anyone. But you, I think you came out and gave the bus driver glasses, and then it was like, well, problem fixed. We were kind of like, what next? And then it was really funny. It became a conversation about that.
Yeah, the rest of the scene just became the fact that there was no game. And then I took the game away.
It's like LASIK eye surgery, problem solved.
All right. Totally normal day. Bye.
It's funny.
That makes me a really bad writer. Like, I haven't had much success writing longer form stuff, because the whole thing with it is like, you take a problem that we all know what the solution is, and you have to stretch it over an hour for it, or like a whole movie. Mm. And for me, I'm like,
and it has to get worse and worse.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I know. They just solve it in this scene. Like my instinct is like, this is an easy solve. How could we stretch this out for a whole movie or whatever?
Yeah. Well, that's why even when you were talking about earlier, I was like, Dan is just saying exactly how people have to write shows. Like, you have to sort of, like, it was like, that is the most frustrating thing. And when, and it is like, because even yesterday, I went to go see the new Scream, and there was just moments where I was like, you know what I mean? But I think that's just horror movies in general, where it's just like, why don't they just, you know, because people like to do this thing where, like, if somebody is like chasing them or whatever, like, they'll hit them once, and then a person like falls, like, oh, and then it's like, all right, let's get out of here. And I'm like, why don't you just beat them to death? Like,
We cut to a writer's room of a horror film, and it's many drafts in. And okay, guys, I think we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and the studio's pretty happy with our last draft. And we just want to run it through why wouldn't you just guy, which I brought in. Do you know Ronnie's work, Ronnie Adrian? He does why wouldn't you just do
Oh yeah. This is the this is the guy that just tightened up the last four Scream movies, right?
Mm-hmm. He made them make sense.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Ronnie, come on in. We're ready for you.
Glad to have him here.
Hello, everyone.
Well, hey.
I'm excited to fix whatever problems that your script might have.
Yeah, and let's not be defensive, because Ronnie is just, he's a logic machine. He really gets reality. And sometimes I think we get a little too creative and crazy. So let's just not be defensive is what I'm saying. So Ronnie, you can just pick any points in the horror script that you want to talk about, and let's talk about them.
All right. So I was reading this latest draft of your movie, Yell. And I have to ask, if the high school teenage boy is in a room of guns on the wall with the high school cheerleader as they are making coitus, why, when the killer bust in, would he just not grab one of the guns off the wall?
Okay, Dan, chill out, man. You're getting red in the face right away.
It's just...
Dan, sit down.
Sit down. Everyone sit down. I went, for now on, every I note, mean, or why wouldn't that happen? Let's stay seated.
First of all, I don't know if I should be saying this when he's in the room, but I would love to get notes from this guy in writing, because in person, I am unsettled to my core.
I only do it in person so I can look the writers in their eyes as I challenge their work.
I respect
I tell you why, because we're telling a story and we're asking the audience to suspend their disbelief. People have been doing it for years and years, okay? Maybe this boy is scared to kill. Maybe he doesn't want to be a killer.
So why wouldn't he just grab the gun and have the moment where you see that he is afraid to pull the trigger they didn't run away?
Dan, if I can jump in, and this is a justification that I know I use a lot. He's distracted by the coitus.
I don't know. I don't
You're
know
not if thinking I, we clearly can defend it
just with
room.
Coitus. Doesn't fear overcome coitus every time? And I feel this problem Ronnie's bringing up is a valid problem that you see in a lot of movies of, wow, there's a whole room filled with guns. Why don't you take every single one of those guns with you when you leave that room? Why just take one gun? Same kind of problem. Why, if there's so many guns, why not use it?
All right. Well, why don't you marinate on that problem for a while? You with the Tommy Bahama hat. And I'm going to go to one of my next. Why don't they just. So there's a scene where the overprotective mother comes across the killer in the back of the farmhouse. When
big sip right there from his little water.
Sorry. Some of the best water. When she sees the killer and the killer sees her, clearly you've set up in the movie that the killer is easily distracted sometimes. Especially why doesn't she just flash her breasts to distract him so she can run away?
Okay, see, this is what I'm saying, right?
Like Genius point.
I'm always pitching, you know, that the killer could be distracted by coitus. And I think if we can use it sparingly, I guess for this scene, I got outvoted, but it just doesn't quite fit, right? That there's, I don't know if she would have that thought while she's, you know, panicked and afraid to flash a breast.
I'll speak to this, okay? First of all, to the hat. Yeah, this was a gift to me from Wes Craven after we worked together on New Nightmare, which I did some rewrites for. So, I think I've got
to get my hands on that script.
Well, it's 30 years old, right? So I don't know what to tell you about it. And that movie did very well, and it reimagined just like Wes is known for. And I'm trying to reimagine the horror film. And one thing we're trying to remove is gratuitous nudity and gratuitous sex, or coitus, as you keep saying. I can't believe someone could be so horny, but also so afraid of the word sex.
I feel I have to respond to this note by just pulling my dick out, and I am right now.
And I'm distracted.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
I'm distracted too now.
And this is a great, example of in the movie how that could also help her get away from the killer, as opposed to what's in the script, which is as the killer is chasing her, he steps on a rake and hits himself in the face. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. What is that?
It's a mix of horror and comedy. Okay, we're all so inspired by Jordan Peele, but maybe don't exactly get why his stuff works so well. And we know it comes from comedy, so that's what we're trying to do here a little bit, you know.
Well, I will tell you one thing that made me laugh for sure reading this script. It's when the dad, the one who was absent from his son's life most of his early years and has now come back to his life. It's the moment when the killer kills him. Now, you describe this guy as in the body type of a NFL linebacker. And you describe this killer as a small, slender man.
Two words, but he was not necessarily slender man, but, you know, a slender man, just to be clear. Well,
too much time in the script clarifying that, I wonder. we'll get back to that.
It's only a page and a half.
You can't steal Slender Man.
Well, I think we just have to be cautious about the IP. It's only a page and a half to make it clear.
I already told you we need to cut King Kong out of the ending.
Again, it's King Kong. It's one word. King Kong.
Humans, this summer, Maddie B and Improv for Humans with Maddie B will be out there live in the world. Palmdale, California, July 2nd. Transplants Brewing. John Gabris and myself will both be doing stand-up and an Improv for Humans set. Lowell, Arkansas, July 7th and 8th at the Grove Comedy Club. Tim Meadows is going to be headlining doing stand-up, and I will be doing an opening set for him. That's July 7th and 8th at the Grove Comedy Club. July 22nd, Pasadena, California, Improv for Humans returns to the Ice House, the legendary comedy club, the Ice House, July 22nd. Go to mattbesser.com for more ticket info and ticket links to those events.
Let's talk some more about that.
I have, in a drunken state, one of my most drunken, because I blacked out, stepped on a rake and it hit me in the head with the handle.
Damn.
It actually happens in the
room. Was it funny?
I don't, that was not a funny night for me.
Was in like a tree falls in the forest kind of way, like, was there anyone around to laugh at it?
Okay, here are the specifics. Amherst versus Williams, the football game, and they're our rival, and we're at Williams. We've rented a bus to drive up there. It's like a 2-hour drive, I think. And I get just freshman year, I get just fucking vodka blind drunk, and I'm being the super fan. I'm being that guy, folks. Consummate being that guy, being way too loud and obnoxious, trying to be funny. At some point, probably get pushed out. I don't remember, but get pushed beyond the bleachers, like, get this guy out of here. And beyond the bleachers is just a field, just a cow field at Williams. So I'm just wandering out in a field behind the bleachers, and I step on a fucking rake and it hits me in the head. And then I wake up on the bus going back. It wasn't like I got knocked out and then woke up, but the next thing I remember is being on the bus, waking up and going, where are my shoes? Where are my beloved Chuck Taylors? So someone had just, as a joke, just taken them off and just fucking chucked them out the window or whatever the fuck. And I'm covered and I'm covered in puke. And then the Humor magazine references it all like 2 weeks later, the Campus Humor magazine. So that was my big embarrassing.
They hit you with like a Alfred E. Newman style parody of your drunk
night. It
was
in the crossword puzzle.
So was it a crossword?
I can't remember what the clue was.
Four words, Besser's ultimate nemesis. Four letters, sorry.
Four words,
sorry. Rake, 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 rake.
Now, not to hit a sore spot, but you watched a big loss live recently. Do you feel like you handle those better now? Have you grown since then?
All right, Dan, let's talk about this. Okay. So I'm a huge Razorback fan. Football and basketball mostly. And I've gone to a football game pretty much every year for my entire life, but I haven't been to a lot of basketball games. They fall in a different season. It's harder to get there for me. So I haven't seen a lot of live Arkansas basketball, and I've never been to the tournament, March Madness. We got to the Sweet 16, Dan, as you know. The Hogs, they beat Kansas. They upset number one seed Kansas. I got so excited. And it was in Vegas, the Sweet 16. So I had no excuse. It's so easy to get to Vegas. So I went there, and I went there by myself, which is another kind of weird fandom thing to go travel. I don't know. Maybe it's done a lot, but most people are in there in groups or at least couples. So I'm the lone guy there on a Thursday in Vegas at the game. And one of my favorite things, Dan, is connecting with Razorback fans. I love pre-game, during the game, after the game. I can talk to Razorback fans, we fans together forever. Just talk about whatever the fucking sport is, right? And that's what I was doing pregame. And it's just strangers going, Woo Pig, yes, sir, Woo Pig. And then, you know, hooking up and talking about what our chances are. But then, guys, we got walloped. UConn fucking Gabriel said during the right after the game, he was driving and he was about to see me at Tree Fort Festival. So he asked what the score was. And Siri said, Arkansas just got pummeled by UConn. Used the word pummeled. Like, what right does Siri have to judge this score?
Siri is opting to not give numbers and just be like super descriptive and insulting. Let's just say it's a murder. Like, what the fuck? Like, just give me the score.
You don't want to know. Give me the information. No, I know it. You like it too much.
I don't have enough memory to give you the opponent's score.
Oh, that's mean. The saving grace was it wasn't a rival. If it had been like a rival, or I'd been like in Texas or LSU or something like that, and we had lost like that, and they would have been giving me shit, I would have been surrounded by that. At least it was a neutral venue, and UConn doesn't travel like Arkansas travels, so there were not a lot of UConn fans there. But if I had UConn fans around me or behind me, I think I might have lost my shit. It would have been too much. But I was just in a sad sea of red. And the woman next to me would not stop saying the same thing over and over again. We just can't score. We just can't score. And then she would say, everything they shoot is going in. Just for the whole fucking game.
Excuse me, miss. You should be a commentator. You're a quarterback.
So we see that woman does, she makes connections. A lot of people want more nuanced commentary, but through some connections she received in the crowd, she does get an audition. Welcome to ESPN.
Oh, so excited to be here. A lot of good sports on your network.
Yeah, my name's Marty, and we've heard a lot of good things about you and how you have a new down-home vibe of commenting that we're really looking for. We're wondering if you'd like to comment on a few games that we have recorded here, and we can just like watch you comment, and so we can get the execs knowing what you're all about.
What an honor! Sign me up.
Okay, come on in. Put down all your bags.
Wait 1 second.
A swag.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And what do you want to, what sport do you want to watch?
Oh, you know, anything with a ball and a goal or a hoop or a net.
Okay. Let's watch a little women's basketball. How about that?
Great.
We're in the Elite Eight this week, and we got Iowa versus Louisville. Okay. We'll start right here in the middle of the second quarter.
Oh, look at those ladies. They're working hard.
Swish.
Oh, right in there.
Swish.
Oh, just went in again.
Swish.
Oh, I feel like it just keeps going in.
And we cut to 10 minutes later.
Swish.
Well, I'll be pickled.
Time out.
Okay, and we have a shout of a man on the side has made a shout. Looks like they might need a little break ski.
And we're going to take a break too. Okay, really got a
I'm
going
to go to the bathroom.
Do
I get to stay on? I thought I got a break too. I guess not. I'll stay. What were you?
No, you can get a break if you want, but we're just going to give you a little feedback from the execs. We all been watching you from behind that window over there.
Happy to learn.
Okay. So we did hear you were down home, and that is true. Do you know much about basketball?
Oh, I know. It's as enjoyable as a kayak ride in the sunset.
Oh, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Kayak ride in the sunset isn't very competitive, though.
Well, it is if you're with my cousins. But I get your point.
Okay.
You want me to up the competition, the intensity a little bit?
Well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, if I might chime in, lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for coming out here. Here at ESPN, we're really just trying to get an audience that's a little more folksy like you. And we're loving what you're saying, but maybe a little more exciting and maybe even a little more specific with what you're seeing might be helpful.
Sure. Okay. Can do that.
We can all see that it's going in.
That's true. That's true. I'll try to sprinkle
give
a little bit of that
perspective.
Understood. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. Here we go.
You want to try another sport? You want to pick up on this game in the second half?
Let's pick it up.
Okay. Let's go to the fourth quarter where it was tied in the final 2 minutes and got really exciting with a lot of threes and a lot of and ones.
Okay.
Do you know what an and one is?
Yes, I believe so. It's a brand of basketball shorts that my son wears.
Right. That is true as well. Okay. Let's start with 2 minutes left.
Okay. It's 2 minutes left. We got quite a bit of and ones swishing out there on the floor. Looks of all different sizes, but nary a bad fit in the house. Now, there's lots of action here, and, oh, I'll say this, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, be a sweetie and wipe the seedie.
Hi, this is me, one of the execs in your ear. It's Mike. Okay. Keep going. Yeah. You're doing great. Just a little side coaching here.
Sure.
The outfit stuff is great. Again, the game, there was just a three-pointer that went in and with the foul. That's very rare, and it's a huge play.
I hate to be a fussy Gus, but my last note that I got was about how everyone can see what's going on, and I need to add more, but I can say that, too. I can say that the three went in. They made the basket, and it was 3 points.
But it's very rare to get a three and a foul. So let's just rewind that and just really ramp up into it, just knowing that's going to happen. We'll use that as the clip for this audition, okay?
Okay. So could you rewind me about, 20 seconds before the clip?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
And we're going.
Okay, just to let our viewers know at home, it's extremely rare for anyone to ever have a three-pointer and a foul at the same time. So should that happen, it would be quite exciting. Oh, and there we go. It just happened. So now we know that's exciting. It's exciting stuff. And again, these shorts are sponsored by And One.
They're not in your ear. They're not actually.
They're not actually. I've just been told by a producer they're not actually shorts.
Could I maybe make a suggestion to the fellow execs?
Okay. I was kind of liking that last thing. It was kind of like Tony Romo.
It was. Yeah, I was into it. Obviously, she won't be able to know the future in the game to predict what's about to happen. I think maybe we've got Richard Jefferson here with us. Maybe he can go in and kind of, because if she does it, she'll be playing off of another commentator.
I love a little bit of back and forth.
Okay. This guy knows his shit, though. He used to play.
Hey, how you doing? Richard Jefferson here.
Nice to meet you, sir. My name's Carla.
Oh, Carla, what a wonderful name. All right, so I'm just going to be working with you here a little bit. And just so you know, like, I like to mix it up. I'm kind of like the ESPN bad boy around here.
Oh, that's wonderful. And just so you know, I've been informed that it's not very often that a three-pointer and a foul happen at the same time, in case that should come up for you. It stumbled me a bit.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Okay, we're going to start with the last minute of the game where Caitlin Clark is moving towards an NCAA triple-double record if she can get one more rebound. Okay, here we go.
So Kayla Clark, I understand, is about to break a record. Or actually, I don't know if she's going to break a record or not. None of us know. And there's no way to know. It's all in God's hands now.
All right. And well, Caitlin Clark is moving up the court. Oh, and look at the vibe. She's like, she moves just like Steph Curry, but she's a female basketball player.
She moves. Is Steph not a female?
No, Steph is Steph.
Haven't met Stephanie Curry, but I assume Stephanie Curry is just as talented as any of these other women out here on the court.
Well, now, Carla, Steph is short for Stephen. He's one of the best basketball players in the NBA. And so just something there. But back to this
and
game.
I want to say that the ladies can do it just as good as any man can. And I think today is proof of that, if not an objective reality. So, again, who knows what'll happen? All we can do is put our hearts and faith in Jesus and remember that when there was one set of footprints, that's when he carried you.
Yeah, all of that, because I also praise God, but also just want to clarify that I wasn't saying that women can't play basketball like men, because women can play, women
hey,
can
Richard,
play like
this
women.
Is the execs from ESPN in your ear. Come on, man, you're the bad boy.
Yeah, get her. I don't know what's going on. This Carla, you are frazzled, dude. A little bit, but I'll get back to it. You're right, I am the bad boy.
She's got you on your heels, man. Dig in. There's 30 seconds left.
All right, you know, you're right.
Oh, and here she pulls up to that wide arc of the three-point line. Bless this mess, it's gone right in again.
Swish, Caitlin Clark with the hard contested three right in their faces. She says, go home with a three.
Go on home, go right on home with the three. I like that,
we
sir.
We can see Richard Jefferson has splop sweat. like he never had when he played ball.
Triple-double watch for Caitlin Clark. She almost had a rebound there. She needed one more rebound, and she could get her triple-double.
Triple-double there, and if we're out of toilet paper in this house, it probably means you use too much, mister.
Let's talk some more about that.
I love that Ronnie and I watched the same game last night.
Oh, yeah. I watched
too many good specifics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But all except the fact that I was like, wait, who were they playing? And then I remember it was Louisville, but I was like, who was it? Who? I forgot.
But you did get the triple double watch. I love that came up as a graphic last night.
And it stayed there like to the point where I was like, she needs to get the triple double because they've invested so much in the triple double watch.
They're
going
treating
on,
it like a no hitter. It was funny.
I had that feeling with, I don't know if y'all watched the game where LeBron broke the scoring record.
Yes, and Anthony Davis didn't stand up.
Yeah. And Russell Westbrook wouldn't leave the court when he got checked out. It was like very odd to just see weird dynamics. But the whole game, I was like, I just want him to break the record because I'm so, it's the only thing you can think about once it comes up. And like every time someone touches the ball, you're like, yeah, give it to LeBron. Yeah. And like you can feel them all thinking it too.
Yeah, there's like there's not a real basketball game happening anymore at that point. It's like a mini game sort of within.
Yeah, there's no flow. It makes me think of like, this is a dumb, this just popped in my head, but like when Robin Williams used to show up at UCB, the idea of like me initiating a scene to Ollie and Robin Williams being on the back
line. On the back line, yeah. It's like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's do that. Do that moment.
Okay. I heard Rabbit. Dad, can I get another rabbit? The one we have just isn't paying attention to me.
Oh, sport? Well,
boo!
Come on.
I'm going to shut the window here because the neighbors are being
have
so
Robin
loud.
Shut it.
Okay, well, I'll have my wife, whose name is Robin. Ronnie, you want to help out here?
Oh, now he's trying to do Barat. Have Robin Williams come out, my wife.
Hi. I'll shut the window for you boys. Would you all like some pie? Because I made a hot one.
What well, look at that, fuck? Son. You made your mother make a hot pie. Now, I just want to let you know, a thing about rabbits is...
Stop they... it!
Sir!
This is ridiculous.
Sir, we're doing a scene, I'm sure... If I can just pause for a second, I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to do this, but it's just getting so disruptive.
Break the fourth wall. Open that stupid window that no one bought.
We're trying, okay? Okay, it's an improv show, and I know what you want to see is Robin Williams. He's going to get up again. We're just going to do some scenes in between as well.
Well, he's doing mine behind you right now, so he's the guy. Why don't you just get it over with? Just have him come out, do some stand-up, and then you guys can do your...
He's emotional. We get it. He's a comedic legend. We love him as much as you do. And we also just know that he wanted to play in a normal improv set. So we're going to try to do what we do.
We cut to we have fast montage through the rest of the show. And Robin Williams does get out and like in a show that has like 20 scenes. He's in like two scenes. And he gets tagged out by these guys every time he tries to get out there. And now it's like a half hour after the show and people are starting to walk out of the theater towards the bar.
There they are. Fuck you guys.
Whoa, hey, man.
No, fuck you.
Hey, I'm sorry you had a bad time. When you came tonight, you didn't even know Robin Williams was going to be in the show. You came to see us, right?
That's totally beside the point. That is so beside the point. This is one of those moments you fucking remember forever. A friend of mine saw Chris Rock when he was only 18. He fucking never shuts the fuck up about that.
Sir, it's improv. We can't really control what's happening on stage, you know? Who knows what scenes you're going to get?
Oh, bullshit. We all wanted to see fucking Mork. And you should have started a scene by saying, where's Mork?
Well, hey,
man, I would have done.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think I'm funnier than him. So I was tagging
him. I knew it. In all your faces.
I was tagging him out every time he even touched the stage. Like, even when I didn't have anything and he would open his mouth, I would tag him. Like, because it's like, you're going to know that, like, I took it as competition that he was here. And every time he touched the stage, I took him in into myself that I'm going to show that I'm better than him.
And Ronnie has that right as an improviser.
Do you think you're funnier than him? What, sir?
Could I give you a comp to our next show? I don't think there's going to be any drop-ins. I think you'll see that we're actually really funny when we're just getting to do what we do without this kind of added distraction that makes us feel a little less present with everything.
Yeah, as a makeup for this show where you didn't get to see enough Robin Williams, can we offer you a comp to come see a show that's 100% just going to be us?
Look, guys, I'm a huge fan of comedy. I love long-form improvisation. I love it. And that's why I come here all the time. I love your guys' shows, but you didn't cheat me of a good show. You cheated me of a lifetime experience. Do you see the difference there?
I mean, well, think about it. If you're talking about that example that you had for your friend, like, you got to see me, Ronnie Adrian, when I was young, before I, you know, was like become this sort of like mega movie star. Cause I'm getting there.
This is like you got to watch Ronnie Adrian's rookie card live.
He's showcased for SNL three times.
Yes. Three times. Lower totem rung. Never really got to the next sort of level of that. But
no, they never flew him out, but he's showcased.
Okay, I'm getting what you're saying. This has future value that I don't appreciate yet.
Right. Like, you got to see Robin Williams. Who cares? Everybody knows who Robin Williams is. He's great. He's his guy. But now you get to see us.
We cut to backstage at the makeup show. The improv team is warming up.
Hey, guys, it's me, Gilbert Gottfried. So, I was wondering, could I get up there with you tonight?
Holy shit, it's Gilbert Gottfried.
Hey, Gilbert, I got to be honest with you, man. You're my comedic hero. And honestly, there's a lot of people I think I'm funnier than, but it's not you. I know you're not known for improv, but trust me when I say I'm going to let you have the floor all night tonight.
Just treat me like one of the gang.
Hey, we're huge fans. Just out of curiosity, is there like a text thread for everybody that was in Aladdin or something like that?
Let's talk some more about that.
Well, Gilbert Gottfried, one of those voices that you jump into and then go, nope.
I've seen, Mike Myers do a show. I've seen Robin Williams do the show a couple of times. And I've seen Chris Farley do a show. And that moment when they step out on stage and no one knows that they're going to be there. It's different when you know someone's going to be there. It's different when you pay to see Chappelle and he steps out. You're still excited, but it's a different kind of excitement. Hmm. When you don't pay for it and you're paying, what, $5 at the UCB and Robin Williams steps out or Chris Farley steps out, it is such a sound. Or frankly, Amy Poehler surprises you. But it's like this, And if you're one of the other people, speaking of being Amy Poehler's partner, but you step out next. Yeah. Or even right beforehand. And then all of a sudden you hear this deafening, like people passing out, screaming yell. The Mike Myers in particular was like people just passing out. Like, I can't fucking believe he's here. It's such a great feeling to see people have that.
Yeah, experience. It really is. To see, like, there's, you see it now with, like, Darcy Carden. You see people in the front row being, like, nudging each other and, like, pointing all excited. And it's like, oh, they'll be talking about this for a long time. Yeah. I did a show, I've probably told this before because it really stuck with me because it was really funny and also a bummer, where Adam Pally was in it. And right before, it was Gabriel's show. And right before, he goes, hey, I'm going to bring you on after Pally.
Why?
So he goes like Adam Pally, and everyone's like, yeah, and it's like, and Dan Lippert, and it's like, okay.
He knows Adam Pally, yay, but not too well. Oh, oh. Okay, but let's move on to a different topic. You don't want to get too showbiz, but Brett, I was thinking earlier, speaking of Pally, when we had that show, when we were shit talking the comedian.
Yes.
That's my lost. That's my lost tease, is when you bleep out the name. Is. If I could go and in three episodes, I'm going to tell you who we were bleeping out the name of. That would actually work.
You have whole Reddit communities piecing together the puzzle pieces to try to figure it out, too. That's like so what they do funny with all the TV shows.
That's so funny.
I had people tweet at me. I mean, this is just going to become self-referential, but a bunch of people at the time, you brought up a certain musician who did a bad Ass Cat, and he had also hosted a bad Earwolf show that kind of bombed and never got released. People will hit me up about that guy.
People wanted to know who you're talking about.
Yeah, because I think he said he did mushrooms and did Ass Cat. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to just bleep it again, it was the story.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure
let's
bleep that.
Let's bleep sure that bleep out, that. Brett. Yeah. So we get some guessing.
It is like you don't want to be that. Like, it's like lizard brain stuff. Like, I want to think I'm above gossip or like stuff like that. But then when I do find myself being like, oh, wait, who was this? What happened? Like, I'll like see a thing on Reddit and then like about a celebrity and then really dig deep about someone I never cared about my whole life. And then once it becomes gossip, I'll be like, oh, what the fuck is this about? And it like, I really feel the like juiciness of like wanting to eat on hatred.
Gross.
I will say it's only funny because this is sort of in this realm, but I did it. I did an Improper Humans a while ago. And at one point we were talking about, we referenced comedians in some sort of way. And so I think I had referenced like Sebastian Maniscalco, like that particular comedian. And not in a way where I'm like, yo, I don't like the, but it was in a way that's being like, yeah, you know, this type of comedy, da da da, whatever. And I'm not going to lie to you all. I was at one of those kind of big Hollywood Bowl things, whatever. One time, and and they brought him out like, oh, and as you know, a special guest on and so forth. And Sebastian Maniscalco came out. I think it's just like Sebastian. He just goes by his first name. He's like that popular.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, had me laughing pretty hard. I was like, I remember that episode,
Ronnie, I was defending him on that episode saying the same thing. And Mookie, I think, was down talking him.
but I was in the Hollywood Bowl like, this guy is, he's cracking me up. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I get it. There is a shtick to it, but it was also like, I'm not above the shtick. Like
he knows his business. Yeah. Danielle was just asking me who I thought was the biggest working stand up, like gross wise. And I think it might be him. Mm-hmm. He has his own show in Vegas for one.
Wow.
And speaking of Sebastian, yeah, it's like Cher. He is at that kind of status of mainstream, but he knows what he's doing.
I used to feel, and sometimes I'll do it still because it's like an easy laugh, but there's like a cachet of getting to like dig on somebody who's famous, you know, like there's people who are punchlines. So like it's on the tip of my brain because like Zach Braff came up in a show the other night and people kind of made fun of him. But it's so funny because I've had that experience where I've then met the person and I immediately become so low status around them. And I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? Like, I want to impress them. And it's like, there's like a cowardice to what I'll say in an improv show versus like in real life. If I'm face to face with the person, I'll be like, hey, you're more successful than me. Like, so I look up to you at the end of the day.
Is it 100% cowardice, or is there also a percentage of just like humanity because you're seeing like the real person as opposed to like the idea of the person? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Probably a little bit of that. Yeah.
You're like 1% maybe.
But there's that, you know, there's that thing where it's been like you've talked about someone and then the people have been like, they were in the audience and it's like, oh no,
oh,
you know.
God. Yeah, yeah, totally. I think there's like a certain level of celebrity where you hopefully can like accept that you exist as like an idea like outside of who you are as a person. Do you know what I mean? Like there's the caricature version of whoever you are. And then there's like you as a real person, and people might use you as an idea for comedy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Damn it.
Yes. I think I've been caricatured for comedy, but,
you,
yeah, Matt Besser, I have Ronnie.
That's crazy.
In the damn crossword.
In the goddamn crossword. As a freshman.
Hey,
go ahead,
man. I hate Principal Wilson. You see the way he walks around campus in those khakis, and it's like, hey man, those khakis are too tight, all right? Like, buy them bigger, man. Buy them bigger.
Oh my god.
How's it going, boys?
Principal Wilson looking good.
Hey, Principal Wilson, nice khakis.
Oh, thank you.
Principal Wilson. I'm Principal Wilson.
Breathe, Ronnie.
Hello.
Don't want you to end up in the nurse's office again.
Oh, yeah, I hate it in there. It smells like Vicks vapor rub.
Principal Wilson, I just wanted to thank you again for giving me a second shot. I know that I was really close to suspension, and you know, you were able to have that meeting with me and my parents, and I really feel like I have a good start on this year.
Yeah, I believe that everyone not only deserves a second shot, but a third shot like you. And I just want you to do well as... Oh. It's time for me to raise the flag. I'll be right back.
Okay.
It's time for me to raise the flag. I'll be right back.
That's him for. That's exactly how he sounds.
Nailed him, man. Oh, my God. And we have to raise the flag every day because we love this country and we say the Pledge of Allegiance to it.
Oh, I was a veteran before I was a principal.
Oh, wow. Just such a lovely day. It's good to see old Glory in the breeze like that. Oh, by the way, Ali. I got that scholarship for you.
No kidding, sir.
I convinced the coach that the drunk driving accident was unusual for you and that you're a good kid.
Thank you so much, sir. It really means a lot. And I, you know, that ever since my dad got fired at the factory, there was no way I was going to be able to pay for college. So this just, can I hug you?
Yeah, bring it in. I'm not afraid. Come on, all you boys. There you go. Come on, Ronnie, breathe. Oh, there you go. Yeah, you can cry into my chest.
I haven't received tenderness from a father figure in such a long time. This is really sweet for me. I really need this.
Okay, boys. I have to check the parking lot real quick to make sure no one's smoking cigarettes, but I'll be right back.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you and God bless America. Okay, perv alert.
Perv alert.
Right. Yeah, I felt warm and tingling inside, but should I have from the principal?
Squeezing me a little too hard there, Jared.
Yeah, just to be clear, Jared is not his real first name. You're talking about the Subway guy.
Absolutely talking subs.
Got him.
Got him.
We're so funny, dude. We're such a funny group of three people at this school.
I do appreciate him giving us the opportunity to host the assemblies. You know, I think that's like that's really where I was able to find my voice and find success doing comedy in front of a big crowd, you know, and it really killed.
He has definitely provided a lot of opportunities for us.
For sure, for sure. And I mean, when I tell you, like, he's the reason that my mother and my father stayed together. I was about to be a child of divorce, and he was the one that sort of counseled them, and their marriage is stronger than ever.
It's just too bad his hair is so crazy. It's too bad his hair is so crazy. It's like...
Let's talk some more about that.
You can tell these guys were really bullies, Brett. They come off charming on air, but sometimes people pull specifics that you know that they're fucked up. I feel that way about horror movies these days. Sometimes I watch them like, this director and this writer fucked up. How the fuck did they think of this?
You fucking sicko.
It must be true of some of them that they're sickos, though. Come on. Yeah. Don't tell me that normal brains think of all these fucked up things.
I think that Ari Aster guy is like an absolute sicko. I try to remove my experience of a movie from the person making it, but he drives me nuts. Like,
I don't even know who this is.
What movies he did do, Hereditary and what's the one?
That's one of those movies. Midsommar. That's one of those movies where I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's one of them.
God, it was so good though. You didn't like it?
No, I did like it. No, that's beside the point. I'm watching just going, holy shit, how can you? And I kind of mix up some of those movies too. But those, I know that was one of them where you're like, where you almost can't watch the screen. It's not blood.
Yeah.
It's situation.
I think that's one of the most jarring things about even comedy is that like it is. And I'm saying jarring not in a way where I'm like, distracted by it or whatever, but just the idea that it's like there are sort of people who sort of like wear their sensibilities on their sleeve. So like when you're talking to them, you're like, oh, I can know this guy. Yeah, I get what they, you know, like da 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 da. And then there's people who are like really genuinely like really, really nice. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Like so-and-so, they're really nice. And then it's like, all right, cool. And here's a word, let's go. And then some of the stuff they say, it's like this person came up with that specific in a way where it's like, I didn't even know this part of that person, you know? But it's so funny to be like, that's in there, you know, like, as opposed to the person that's like, yeah, that person is just like that off stage. And then you meet somebody who's like a real sweetie. And then you get on stage, and you're like, that person's the fucking, they're like, their specifics are insane.
Yeah. Oh, you're a freak, huh? Like,
okay. I guess I'll read my, my poem for the class. I think I was next, right?
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I'm Jeremy. I know I haven't talked to you.
Speak up, Jeremy. I've told you, you need to project to the back of the classroom. Don't be too shy.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I know I haven't talked to a lot of you since I moved here. But if you don't remember my name, I'm Jeremy. This is the poem.
We see the bullies kind of rolling their eyes. We see the nicest girl in class giving him a kind little, I hope he does well, smile.
This poem is called Sickness.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Sorry, I was just a little distracted there. All right. There's a sickness inside, festering. Each and every one of us, it eats us alive. It comes out of us.
We see the cynical looks in everyone's face kind of start to fade away into quizzical looks.
In the toilet. In the underwear. It comes out everywhere. And yet I want to be the sickness inside of you. Please, please, please let me be your sickness. Thank you.
Okay, Jeremy. Looks like you've you've affected the class, and that's what poetry's supposed to do, affect us. Does anyone want to comment?
I was wondering if we were going to have a moment to sort of like ask Jeremy about some of his poetry words. You went from a line about the toilet in the underwear.
Yeah, he said in the toilet, in the underwear.
In the underwear. Yeah. And then sort of like in the body. So obviously, I mean, you know, we're kids, so you know where my mind goes. So when you're saying you want to be the sickness inside of somebody, what exactly does that mean?
You know, I just kind of dipped into my subconscious there, you know. It's about love. It's about sexuality. It's about, you know, the dirty parts of life and relationships that aren't as easy on us all.
We see the introverts that people never even notice because they never talk. They're not in their heads with total understanding.
I don't want to. And dude, by the way, you're like Jeremy, you're like the Mormon kid, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more than just that. But that's one thing that I am. Yeah.
A little disappointing is the Mormon kid.
Okay, well, yeah, anyway, by the way, on the way out, I baked little muffins. I've been working on baking, and I think this is the best batch I did yet. There's blueberry, there's chocolate chip, and there's even gluten-free.
I ain't trusting that shit. I ain't getting your sickness in my body.
Hey, dude, what? Hey, Jeremy, you just dropped this, uh-huh. And it's another poem. The title is Disease? What is this, dude? Take this.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to take up too much time. Everybody wrote poems, but if you want, I can read Disease.
I can wait. I'm fine with Jeremy reading another poem.
Okay. The class would like to hear another poem on this theme.
I thought of this at night when I was watching Young Sheldon, which I'm a huge fan of.
Fucking dork.
Okay. Hi, Al.
I once dated Young Sheldon.
Before it was a show.
You dated the kid that plays Young Sheldon? Is that what
yeah,
you said?
Before it became a show.
Oh, cool.
He tested out the show on our date.
I'm curious to hear about that. Disease. A plague has overwhelmed this earth. A plague that has locked us inside.
The lights start to flicker for no reason. It's starting to get cloudy outside.
And yet the plague has been inside of me from day one. So you're going to get up. You're going to get down with the sickness.
Oh, my God. I think my insides are splitting.
Oh, they're becoming outsides. What are you doing to him?
We cut to the writer's room with the script doctor. So this is kind of like Supernatural. There's no guns on the wall. This is kind of a something that's happening where Jeremy's initial evil impulses are kind of manifesting in a supernatural way.
They all look at Ronnie, waiting for him to prove the ending to their horror movie. He takes a huge gulp of his water, more water than a human would even drink. I think he's going to like it. Or I don't know. I can't tell. What the fuck?
And here he is, folks. He's setting up to give the final script note. Now, sometimes teamwork makes the dream work, but in this case, it looks like it might be a one-man band.
Perfect.
And scene and show. This has been Improv for Humans. Dan, we all want to listen to the Man Dog Pod. Would you like to plug that or any other things?
Please listen to the Man Dog Pod. I don't know when this episode comes out, but one with Ronnie and Ali just came out a couple days ago. So as far as this recording goes, yeah.
I hope you guys can do the same scenes.
It was basically the same episode as this one. And then, of course, Big Grande, but BigGrandeWebsite.com, where you can get all the Big Grande stuff, including a new podcast that we're putting out.
Of course. Ronnie, where would you like people to see your plugs?
You could, Instagram, Bones Adrian. I'm also Bones Adrian on Twitter. Perform live and stuff. So that's where you would see where I perform in live at, on those sort of social media apps. I've done this 1,000 times and I feel like this is the first time I've ever done it.
Yeah, that was a terrible plug.
Ronnie, you cracked me up on the season premiere of Grand Crew.
Oh, Grand Crew. Yeah. NBC show, NBC favorite show, Grand Crew. Watch that. I'm in it a couple times this season.
Oh, that's great. Brett, they always seem to plug their shows on the stage before they do their big TV shows. Why is that? I don't know. They think the TV shows can plug themselves.
The heart. That's where the heart is.
Pride in these shows.
The heart wants what it wants. I'll plug Ronnie Adrian's Instagram again, Bones Adrian. Check that out. My Instagram is Ali_Gondour, and I'll post about shows. And come watch Bangarang and Benetton over at UCB.
There you go. Humans just got back from Tree Fort Festival. It was a lot of fun. And I think my next live date out of town is going to be in Arkansas, Lowell, Arkansas, with Tim Meadows. I'm going to be opening up for him. So you can probably find Tim Meadows better than me at this place. But go look at that. Look that up, Arkansas. That wasn't a great plug either, Ronnie.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production, produced by Britt Morris, Amelia Chapello, and Anita Flores, engineered by Britt Morris, music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive, ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.